He reveals the thing, the sin that you've done or the thing that you're doing wrong, but he also speaks to you about your worth. You were worth dying for.
Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Foursquare Church. It's Sunday, December 7th, 2025. Pastor Zoni is speaking. Today's message is entitled, A Great Light in Darkness. And our text comes to us from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. And now, here's Pastor Zoni.
Now, this morning, I'd like for us to look in the scriptures, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. Isaiah is one of those wonderful books of the Bible. Many people call it the gospel of the Old Testament. But in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, we have a remarkable scripture. Let's look it up there. It says, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. Let's read it together, shall we? The people walking in darkness I think we need to be a little bit more catholicos, you know. Well, it's true. This is a wonderful text from God's scripture predicting, of course, darkness and light. May I say to you, which is so true, that darkness in the world yesterday and today is very real. Very real. It says deep darkness. Another version says, those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. But darkness is real in our lives and in the life of the world. In the scriptures, we find this all the time. And darkness represents fear, oppression, represents sin, represents despair, represents confusion. Shall I go on? May I describe your life and my life? Can I describe to you the political landscape of today? Just what our sister has said about someone getting shot. The problems that we have to the right and to the left. People looking for answers that they seem not to be able to find because they're surrounded by darkness. Today, people look for spiritual help in the wrong places. They try to find ways out and they become idolaters of other except God himself. And today, many people feel lost, and overwhelmed, and hopeless. I deal with that all the time. They just don't know how to find their way. They don't even know if there is a way. People are overwhelmed with their issues that they have to face every single day of their lives. I speak with the immigrant community all the time, and they say to me, what am I going to do? And I keep telling all of them that the best thing to do is to get themselves in a situation where they can be blessed by God. And that is that they need to turn to Him and then get direction in their lives. There's no reason why you and I should pretend that darkness isn't real. There's no reason to pretend that there are problems out there that need to be resolved. There's no reason for you to think that everything is well when in reality it's not. You and I need to confront darkness with light. And this is applicable to each one of our lives. Each one of our lives. Every human heart knows all about darkness. I'm speaking figuratively and speaking about your heart, areas of your heart that still are dark. Why are they dark? I think sometimes we choose not to have the light shine in those areas of our life. We prefer to ignore the light of the Lord. But I'm telling you, eventually you're going to have to confront those things in your life and in my life that need redemption. They need the light of God's word, because you and I know where to find light in the Lord. You and I know how to find the Lord inside of our hearts. But many people don't know that the light is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Christ is the one that needs to take care of the darkness in your life. You need to apply his light to your life, to show you the areas that need to be brought to an end and a new life to begin. When you read this passage, as we did in Isaiah 9:2, we find that God refuses to let darkness have the final word. It says very clearly, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. And you and I may be walking in the darkness of our hearts, and yet you're able to see something different. Because Isaiah doesn't simply describe the darkness that existed in those days, being political and spiritual and certainly psychologically. He announces the dawn of a new day, the dawn of a new time. And I want you to look at the issues in your life, and I want you to be courageous enough to say there's a new day coming, and that day is God's light. When the light of God sheds upon your life, something new is going to happen. Because, see, this light that we're talking about, the one that Isaiah writes in chapter 9, verse 2, it doesn't come from within humanity. It descends from God. It comes from God. It doesn't come from the inside. It comes from God. God invades our life. God comes to our life, to my life. God intervenes in our life. God breaks right into all of the path of humanity and enters into human history. And we see Jesus who said, I am the light of the world. So you and I may go through struggles and you and I may go through issues, but there is a light that you can see in your heart. There's a light that shines in every area of your life if you allow it to shine. For you have what is known as free will. You know what free will is, right? Free will means I have a right to say no to God. And God made us that way. God made us so that we can say no to him. Of course, we'll pay the consequences for saying that. First of all, we'll have a miserable life. You think it's happy, but it's not. I mean, I don't want to go into that. But I just want you to know that there is a light that is possible to shine on those areas in your life and in my life that can destroy the overwhelm and the hopelessness that we feel. This nation needs the light of Jesus Christ. We need to have that light shine in areas of our life. But only when you want it, only when you're ready to accept it, only when you come before him and say, Lord, this is an area in my life that I need you to shine and show me how I should live. Show me how this can be resolved. And then God intervenes. Because the answers you're looking for don't come from inside. It comes from outside. It comes from God. God is the one who invades your life, and you open yourself to him, and he is the one that touches you, and he is the one that prevents you from living a miserable life and helps you to live a good life. Jesus said that those who believed in him, they will have a life like a river that flows from the innermost, rivers of living water where you can live. I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. All of that is made possible as you avail yourself to him, and that you will not keep things from him, but that you will say, Lord, this is the area of my life that is dark, that is gloomy, that is not right. Oh, Lord, speak, speak. See, Christ is in your heart. And when Christ is in your heart, he wants to shine in every part of your life. I'm reminded of that bit of history when this country was founded, and Benjamin Franklin came out of that discussion when they put together a republic, and somebody asked him, Mr. Franklin, what did you guys do? What did you guys do? And he says, well, we've made a republic if you can keep it. And you know, Christ is in your life, and if you want to keep him working in your life, you must allow him to do that. That free will says so much about you, because you put the limits as to how much God wants to do. There's another way of looking at this, and I think I've mentioned it before, but it bears repeating. After all, you come here so that I can repeat what I said last week, you know, because you forgot what I said last week, especially because I wasn't here last week. But in reality, it is our desire to serve God, but that desire is measured by how we make ourselves available to God. When Adam and Eve sinned, and the Lord comes back to the garden, and he says, Adam, where are you? People said, gee, God must know where he is. But God voluntarily kept himself from knowing that, because he gave Adam free choice, did not interfere with him. He was able to do that. And so Adam, is the one who says, well, hey, we're hiding from you because we're naked. He says, who told you we're naked? And all of a sudden, we find ourselves that the Lord allows us to live our life as we wish, but then he holds us accountable. And God speaks to you and to me. And he comes to us in the garden where we are. And he says, where are you? And we need to answer the question. And this is why I'm saying this morning, darkness is real in our hearts, in our lives. And we need to bring the light of God so that those areas that are festering, those areas that are keeping us down, can be exposed to him. So that way you and I can have a life that is more fruitful. So God intervenes, but we must allow him to do that in our lives. We have to let him work in our hearts. We can say no to him. We can hide. We can hide, but you can run. But eventually it catches up with you. So salvation, the Lord coming into your life and shedding light, is never a human achievement. It is divine interruption. He interrupts your life and he presents himself and says, where are you? Where are you? Where are you? Where are you? So Christ is in your heart, if you can keep him, so to speak. Like he will never leave you, never forsake you. But he has to make sense. He has to make sense. He needs to be applicable to the areas of life, especially the ones that you're trying to hide. I know that you are good at hiding, but God is much better at finding. So we say darkness is real. We say that God refuses to let darkness have the last word. And the light has a name, and the name is Jesus Christ. He is the great light promised in Isaiah. He is the light prophesied by the Old Testament. It was Simeon in Luke that says, a light for revelation to the Gentiles. That's what Jesus is. He's a light to reveal the world of who God really is. And Jesus then on went to say, I am the light of the world. Amazing statements. He is the one that chases the shadows of your life. He is the one that takes care of darkness. He is the one that removes the doubts. He is the one that makes the path clear. He's the one that shows you how to take steps in your life and not fall. If you follow me, Jesus says, you're not going to stumble. You're not going to fall. So when we talk about light of the world, it's not just a concept, it's a person. And that person is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ who comes near to you, near to me, and he speaks. And you know, the amazing thing about Jesus is that he doesn't just point the way, he is the way. And you walk with him, and you talk with him, and he speaks to you, and you have a dialogue. And it's not just concepts, it's a real living person working in your life. I do have it here several times where it says, people are going to say amen. They're going to say glory to God. You are silent. That means you're living in darkness. Okay, let's move on. Basically, when light comes, when all of a sudden you expose yourself, light will reveal the darkness. So when Christ comes and shines in your life, truth replaces the lies. See, there's a lot of things that we entertain in our life that we think is good, but it's not. It's a lie. When you expose those areas of your life to the Lord in this Christmas season, all of a sudden, truth takes care of the lies. They disappear. And God speaks to you and me, not with condemnation, but with conviction. He speaks to you and says, this is not the way it should be. And it's the door to transformation. See, finding out the dark spots in life, finding out that God knows what you're doing when you think nobody else knows that you're doing, that is how transformation takes place. You cannot be transformed unless you expose yourself to the presence of God. And then God takes those issues that so control you, that so want to dominate you. And you say, Lord, what am I going to do? And the Lord speaks and his light reveals to you. He reveals the sin that you've done or the thing that you're doing wrong. But he also speaks to you about your worth. You were worth dying for. So it doesn't come down with a sledgehammer and that's away with you. It brings conviction. Not condemnation, For Christ took the condemnation. He shows you a way to live. He shows you, you don't have to do that. You can do this and be victorious. I can take care of this for you. So you feel like real bad, but God says, it's pretty bad. But I laid this on my son, and your sins are forgiven, and you are worthy of my love. I love you. God's love is amazing, isn't it? But you got to expose that crap. Oops, I should have said that word. You got to expose that stuff. Right or wrong, you got to do it. You got to do it. So the Lord knows the thing that you try to retain, or you try to hide, or you try to mother or cuddle, and you got to do it. And your sin needs to be exposed to the light, and you will see how much you're really worth, because you are worth forgiving. And you're worth a new start. You're worth a new beginning. You're worth a new beginning. You're worth a new beginning. I'll say it one more time. You're worth a new beginning. Hasta que al fin. And then, you know, some of us, the darkness is surrounded by wounds in our life. We're wounded. And we're hurting. Sometimes it's not that you're doing things wrong. Sometimes it's that you are in pain for things you have done, or things they have done to you, or for issues you can't handle today or process today. And so light will reveal the wounds, but he's also going to reveal the healing hand of Jesus. Would you let Jesus heal you? Would you let the Lord heal you? Will you allow him to heal you? I have so many wounds in all the years of ministry, until I came to a place where I said, Lord, will you please heal all of this? Because unless that is healed, there will be resentment in my heart. I will be upset. I will be mad. And I will say like the disciples, burn them, Lord. And they're worth burning. But that's God that does it. The wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. That's what Paul says. So you've got to expose, allow the things that are wrong with your life, that you know are sins that should not be there. So you bring that to him, but you also bring your wounds so that God can bring healing. Broken hearts don't work well. The Bible says God will not despise or put away a broken heart. He fixes it. He wants to fix your heart. He wants to heal your heart that is wounded. And sometimes we wound ourselves much more than the enemy does. Yeah. Jesus said, in this people shall know that you are my disciples, and that you wound each other, that you love each other. And sometimes we don't find that love among brothers and sisters in the Lord. But you can expose that to the Lord, and he is going to bring to you healing of the heart, healing of your mind, healing in your life. So the light reveals your sin, reveals your wounds, but it also reveals something that I feel needs to be proclaimed from the top of the church's peak, our lostness. Because sometimes we know the Lord, we say we love the Lord, but we're not walking as we should with him. And there's this lostness. When we expose to him our love for the world, our love for the things of the world, they may not be bad, but they're not just quite exactly what God wants you. When you're living on the fringe, when you're not consecrated to him, following him, there's this lostness. And the Lord wants to show you the way home to the center of God's will in your life. Some of us have a periphery, and we follow the Lord kind of like we follow him, but not we follow him. We follow him enough to be miserable because we're not totally committed, but also at the same time, we follow him in such a way that the world says, you're okay. And there's this lack of centering our walk with the Lord, and there's this lack of I'm home. Grace needs to shine in your life and my life. And grace needs to shine the brightest where there's guilt. And when there are wounds and when there's this lostness that you have not, I mean, God has called you. You know God has given you a call to ministry. God has called you to do things for his glory, but you're still fighting him. And this is why when the light, you come to the light will reveal your sin, but also your worth. The light will address your wounds, but it also will address the healing that's available from the Lord. And there's this lostness about us Christians today that calls us for our way home. Can I hear an amen? Some of you look like you're lost. Okay. So, when you allow the light to come in, darkness cannot stay. See, that's the whole point. So, Jesus does not only rescue you and me from darkness, he calls us to carry his light into darkness. So you think of those areas in your life that are bad or that they should be moved away or that they're causing you trouble, that they give you a lack of commitment. Then you and I need to know that the great light comes into your heart and into your life, and the Lord begins to work miracles in you. You know, Jesus came to a place where he called all of those who would follow him. He said, "You are the light of the world." You become bearers of the light that has forgiven your sin, that has healed your wounds, and has given you direction in life. There's a complete turnaround. You become bearers of the light. And Paul says that we shine like the stars in the firmament. People look at you and look at me, and they see that the lack of understanding is gone. Now we understand. We bring clarity to confusion. We bring truth to deception, compassion to indifference, and hope to despair. This is what God does in your life when you allow him to shine through. We shine as we should shine, allowing Christ to eliminate our fears and our wounds and our everyday choices. We allow him to speak to us, chase away the doubts, and chase about the things that control our thoughts and minds. All of a sudden, locally, we become the light in our neighborhoods, in the workplace. Do people know that you have the Lord where you live? Do people know that you have the Lord where you work? Do people know that you are a child of the Lord? Yeah. And in a world desperate for justice and righteousness, do you stand up for that? In vulgar conversations and people who address issues that are so non-Christian, do you assent with them or do you say, no, I need to shine the light of Jesus? So we don't allow darkness to rule. No. We don't allow that to manage our lives. We show up and we carry the light of Christ in our hearts because it has been shining in there. See, there are times in our life when we allow bitterness, deception, anger, frustration. You know, November and December are the worst month of the year for the world. Though everybody celebrates, many people go into deep depressions. May I say to you, if there is depression in your life, if there's darkness in there, allow light to come in. Allow the presence of Christ. Because whatever God sends us, we at work, at school, neighborhood, family gatherings, wherever God sends you, you need to take that light that has shone in your heart, in your life. Well, I need to come this to a conclusion. May I just say to you that light has dawned in Christ Jesus, and darkness should no longer define you, should never define you. The issues you're facing today, the dark moments of life, the difficult tasks, the unanswered questions, the riddles of your life, the unexplainable of your life, you put it in God's hands and ask the light of God to shine on them. And you will see Christ speaking to you, and you will not allow those things to define you. What defines you is Christ in your heart. Oh, yeah, I sometimes don't understand it, but we're not talking about trying to understand it. We're trying to allow the Lord to process that for our lives so that Christ comes into you, steps into your light, into your night, and gives you a new dawn, a new beginning. And it's a new beginning. So this morning, there are actually two responses. There really are two responses. The first response is to receive the light which is in Christ Jesus so that Jesus can break your darkness, can move away those areas of your life that confuse you and give you a bad time. I mean, sometimes we're miserable just because we want to feel miserable. Now, if you're pampering your misery, well, that's something else. But if you allow Christ to come in, you will see that those miserable moments can be reviewed by the Lord and give you light and perspective, and it removes the darkness. You see things differently. I can see clearly now. And then once you have that, then you can reflect that light. You can be a bearer of His presence. This is the time in the world when you and I need to show everybody that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So shake those things that are coming at you and hitting you and making you feel miserable, and ask the Lord to shine in your heart. This morning we have communion. And I need for you to understand that this promise of Isaiah, the people walking darkness have seen a great light, is fulfilled in Christ Jesus. It really is. And the light that stepped into our night of our lives, Christ who came did not turn away from you nor from me. But He came to our lives and He affected our life. We had darkness when we came, and there's light that now shines. When you look at Christ and we ask yourself the question, how did Jesus defeat darkness when He came? He did not do it with an army. He was not politically engaged. He pushed darkness and replaced it with light. And when you and I enter into Christ and we ask the Lord to guide our lives, you will see that the darkness that you have, that you have experienced in life, He will take that away. He will take away your pain. He will take darkness. He will take doubts. He works in your life now, today. And that's communion for you and for me, because we come to celebrate the light of the world that came some 2,000 years ago, born in a manger. Very humble beginnings, and yet He was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And you and I today can come and say, the Lord is working in my life, and am I exposing myself so that darkness will be confronted this morning in my life, so that hope can be restored, so that sight can be given to me. For I sometimes don't know, but the Lord can open your eyes, and you receive the presence of the Lord. And He works in your heart. So we take the bread and we take the cup and we declare that the new dawn has come to our lives, that Jesus is the light that will help us see things differently, a light that helps us to see things differently about ourselves, and a light that becomes a beam for others around us. That it's not just me getting well, is being able to share that wellness with other people. So if you're weary this morning, if you're tired this morning, there's a healer that can take care of you and me. There's someone who can come and just do works of grace in your life. And as we take communion today, may I remind you that the communion is not a place for the perfect. No, no, no. It's for those who need His light, for those who would want to share communion with Him. It is for those who say, Lord, here is my life. You know the intricacies of my life. You know my fears. You know my despair. You know my agony. You know my questions. Lord, here I am. Lighten my life. Speak to my heart. Encourage me to serve You. And we will do so until He comes for us. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Shall we pray? Lord, we thank you this morning for the privilege of coming together and serving you. We thank you, Lord, that this morning we can come and share the table, to share it in such a way that your name will be glorified in all things. We bring to you our ups and our downs. We bring to you our doubts and our fears. And yet, Lord, by bringing them to you, we open ourselves for your healing process. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, church, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let's do it again. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Greet one another in the love of the Lord.
We're so glad you're able to join us today. If you would like to watch the full service with the worship time included, you can check out our Facebook page. For more information about our church, go to our website at www.bbfoursquare.org. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.